I told Elizabeth this morning the song that she played there for offertory made me happy. And boys, that made me happy. That was a blessing. I know you didn't play it for me, but that sure was a blessing. Thank you for playing that tonight. Thank you for putting the work into that. That was wonderful, wonderful. Bluegrass will be in heaven. I'm about 50% positive, and you can almost count on that one right there. I appreciate faithful men. And I appreciate men who finish and complete their races. Amen. Anybody can start anything. I'm thankful for Brother Mayberry and Mrs. Mayberry preaching the gospel for well over 50 years. Praise God for that. And I'm thankful for Brother Mayberry personally. And he is an example for me. And I'm thankful for you, brother, and looking forward to hearing from you tonight. You go ahead and make your way up here. Mrs. Mayberry, I know I say this often, and she doesn't like it, but Brother Mayberry, I tell you the truth, and it is. We're thankful for Mrs. Mayberry and your faithfulness to your husband and to his calling. Thank for your spirit. And I'm not trying to trivialize this. This is the truth. I hope I'm like Brother Mayberry when I grow up. I'm just being honest with you, and I'm thankful for you, brother. Looking forward to hearing from you tonight and asking God to bless you. Amen. Love you. You want a lapel mic? What do you want?
After that warning you gave me?
After that warning. Well, were you preaching tonight?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought you were. Don't do that to me, Brother Mayberry.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. I take back everything I just said. I take it all back. No, I don't. Love you, brother.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Well, it's good to be here tonight, and there was a time when I preached like Brother, what's his name? But slowly and surely you wind down. If you think you're on top now, there's a bottom that you have to look forward to. And so we thank the Lord for being here. We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings you give to us. And tonight we want to turn to a book that gives us something about David. David's psalm in the 71st psalm. We'd like to read 24 verses of this particular chapter. And it's getting to the place where I got to have a magnifying glass again to read the scriptures.
Amen.
Psalm 71, beginning with verse 1. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be my strong habitation to which I may resort commandingly, continually. You have given the commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel men. For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. By you I have been upheld from my birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually with you. I have become as a wonder to many, but you are my strong refuge. Let the mouth be filled with your praise and your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength faileth. For my enemies speak against me, and these who wait for my life have counseled together, saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue and take him, for there be none to deliver him. O God, do not be far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. Let them be confounded and consumed who are adversaries of my life. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and they praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day. For I do not know their limits. I will go in the strength of the Lord. God, I will take mention of your righteousness, of your truly. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who needs it. Also, your righteousness of God is you high, very high. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You who have shown me great and severe troubles shall revive me again and bring me up from the paths of the earth. You shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. That's a poor reading of the scriptures, but it has a lot to say from a man called David as he's waiting to be blessed by God. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the privilege we have of speaking in relationship to him. Lord, we thank you that we are alive, that we're saved, we're on our way to heaven. Thank you, Lord, that you are a God of comfort, Lord. Help us tonight to realize that. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you, for we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. From the very first time that Adam sinned in the garden, man has experienced human suffering. The earth cursed for his sake, the inevitable sorrow of life, burdensome labor, motherhood linked with sorrow, the woman subject to the man. pain, perplexity, struggling, treachery, trial, tribulation, despair, discouragement, and inevitable death. Paul even speaks of this whole word when he says, all of us in creation growing in travail and pain till now because of being in the bondage of corruption. When we look around us, it's not a hard thing to see all the corruption that is going on in the world and all of the human suffering that is going on in the human world. Human suffering, pain, peril, perplexity, dishonor, adversity, weakness, weariness, hunger, thirst, sickness, prolonged suffering. Thou who have experienced it day after day after day, come to the place where you feel like you can't even endure it. My son's wife, called Phyllis, was in the hospital on her bed, and she was suffering so much that she told her husband to let her go, and she was let go, and she died on that bed in the hospital. Human suffering, suffering she could not endure. The very soul cries out for comfort. Jesus himself limited himself to a feeling of our infirmities and cried out for the cup of suffering to be removed. Human suffering. It's very natural for a parent to mourn a wayward child that's getting out of the way. The parental heart may break and just come to the place where there's tears and sorrow, and they cannot bear the fact. The wife whose husband has abandoned her and comes to the place of mourning day in and day and night, and the husband who takes his flower to the grave of his deceased wife, and constantly, and he remembers the first time he gave flowers to his wife, and he breaks down and cries. The mom will have a newness, a nervous, and a newness breakdown every time she thinks about her child if he's missing or injured. All of the anxiety, the fear, the frailty, the pain, the presence calls out for comfort. Comfort. To soothe in distress, to bring consolation or hope that things will soon get better. Comfort. Every individual wants comfort. Comfort. Comfort in misery, as we read from Romans 3, verses 10 through 18. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Though their thread is an open sepulcher, their throat. With their tongues they have used deceit, the person of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Thus Solomon writes, in Ecclesiastes 4:1, he says, so I returned and considered all the oppressions that we have done under the sun, and behold, the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. No comforter. And on the side of the oppressors, there was power, but they had no comforter. No comforter. There is no comfort No consolation, no hope, no prevailing comfort for the unbelieving, Christ-rejecting human soul. No comfort. No comfort has offered comfort to every believing soul that repents of their sin and accepts Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. That's the presenting of the Lord Jesus Christ. David, a man after God, his own heart after God's heart, speaks of such comfort in our text this evening. The 71st Psalm. David found himself in a state of human suffering, having found himself to be an old man. You know, that's something else, isn't it? To be an old man. The very occasion of his prayer was that of affliction, and of helplessness and weakness and a fear of confusion. And his cry was a cry of deliverance and help. David was looking for comfort in the midst of his affliction. Deliver me, cause me to escape, listen to me, and save me from mine enemies, but to me a rock of refuge in which to dwell. David was in a state of sorrow and affliction and confusion. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. He's a weak man, He's an old man who is in a strong habitation, and there's nothing that's helping him to be comforted, even though he's in this place of security. He says, deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. In the first four verses, we see faith's cry for help and David's cry for comfort. First, 2 Corinthians 1:3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. David draws comfort by using the personal pronoun my. I will call him my strong habitation, and he shall be my fortress, my God, my hope, my trust, my praise. David draws comfort just knowing that he's with God in all of his afflictions. The comfort comes from God. And all of his great and sore troubles that he had had showed him, even from the earth, comfort was loose. And it was coming only from God. You think you're in good shape? You think you're healthy? You're young? And the world is out there before you. You're going to serve sometime, and you're going to suffer sometime. Every one of you is going to suffer sometime. David gives testimony of his experience. His desire to honor and praise God, his fear of being cast off in old age, his frustration over the lack of strength, his awareness of his enemies who seek to destroy his life, the fear of his beholding his weakened condition, knowing that in his own strength all is going to be lost. David pleads against his foes. David, the one who's coming back from battle. From the slaughter of the Philistines, heard the women cry out from all the cities of Israel, singing out and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy and with an instrument of music. And the women crowned and cried one another and they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000. But now youth has gone. You know that's what happened? His strength is no more. Affliction is upon him. Fear is in his mind. Oh, how pathetic old age. Old age. Old age robs us of our beauty. Old age deprives us of the strength for active service. Old age, eyes grow dim, can't see. Ears grow dull, can't hear. A strong hand grows weary, and all is afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and desire shall fail, and the cry of the soul is for comfort, 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 comfort. Give me comfort. Cast me not off in time of old age, forsake me not when my strength faileth. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. The prayer of an aged saint repeating the confident hopes that comforted his soul. You who have showed me great and sore troubles shall quicken me again. And shall bring me up from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. And because of God's ever-present comfort, David was able to be sustained. David closes with the promise of abounding in thanksgiving, and all through this psalm we can sense the utterance of struggling, the utterance of affliction because of the unceasing awareness of the awareness of the comfort of God. His promises are sure, his love unalterable, his veracity undisputable, his God, the God of all comfort. But where do you find comfort in your afflictions? Where do you find your comfort in time of excruciating pain? Where do you find comfort in times when everything seems dark and dismal and discouraging? Where do you find your comfort? Where do you find your comfort in time of trial and tribulation and storm and persecution? Where do you find your comfort when you have a son such as Absalom who would steal the crown from his father? Where do you find your comfort in the light of what you personally cannot change? Some look to wealth when their corn and wine are increased. They say, "This is my comfort." Seeking to live as the rich man, clothed in purple and fine linen, living sumptuously every day. Some seek for dreams and visions and omens and impressions and superstitions, even their horoscope. They're looking for comfort. Some run to sin, drink, gambling, drugs, worldly companions. Some seek a psychiatrist, for instance, for a cure, for relief, like the woman who had spirit, spent all her living upon physicians, trying to rid herself of an issue of blood which she had had for some 12 long years. And oh, how she cried for comfort. Comfort. Some miraculous cure, some consolation. Some healing. But she received none from her physician. No comfort, no consolation, no hope of deliverance. Where can one go to find comfort? Where can one go in the midst of pain? Where can one go in the midst of peril, midst of weakness, in the midst of darkness, in the midst of blindness, in the midst of insurmountable circumstances. Where, oh, where, oh, where can one go? Comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation. God is the God of all comfort. Did not Jesus give the invitation? Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you are a believer, if you have come to the Savior, if you're like Job of old, who had lost everything he possessed, family, friends, and physical health, cried out, thy word is my comfort in my affliction. Jesus said, in this world ye shall have trouble, trial, tribulation. Anyone had that yet? Be of good cheer, he says. Take comfort. Be consoled, for I have overcome the world. Comfort, consolation, hope are all available through the God of all comfort and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me say it again, there is no comfort in this life, and there is no comfort in death for the Christ-rejecting soul. Why do you think we're preaching? Why do you think God has called men to go and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? To get you out of your affliction, to get you out of your sin, to get you into the place of being comfortable. Comfortable. Are you comfortable tonight? Note the contrast in Luke chapter 16 of a man being comforted and a man waiting, wanting comfort that cannot be found. A certain beggar named Lazarus, body racked with pain, full of sores, hungry, weak, and weary, unable to keep the dogs from licking his sores. Oh, how he desires comfort. He wants comfort. Well, he died and the comfort came. Carried by the angels, the Abraham's bosom, now he is comforted, receiving good things. No more pain, no more weakness, no more hunger, no more helplessness, no more weariness, no more receiving the bad things, but the good things, distress, despair, all gone. He's got the comfort. Comfort. But what about the certain rich man? That certain rich man clothed in purple who lived sumptuously every day, trusting in his riches, catering to the desires of the flesh, relishing in the temporal pleasures of life, but he did take all of us will do. Every one of us will do what the first man did. We'll die. We'll die. And he died and was buried, and in hell, this man lifted up his eyes, being in torments. How sad it is that so many have no comfort when comfort is available to all people. Jesus told his disciples in John 14:26, he said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. He sent an indwelling comforter. In the year 1874, a passenger steamer, the Villa de Havre, was on the way to Europe. And there was a family on board, a man called A.G. Baffert and the wife and little daughters, four little daughters. The father was a Chicago lawyer, was too busy to go with them at the time, but he intended to follow later. In mid-ocean, a collision took place with a sailing vessel, and nearly all on board drowned and were lost. The four children were drowned at sea, but a sailor discovered Mrs. Spafford floating in the water. He rescued her, and she called to her husband from shore, "Saved alone." Mr. Spafford started immediately for England to bring his wife back to Chicago, and D.L. Moody left his meetings in Edinburgh and went to Liverpool to try to comfort the bereaved parents. And he was greatly astonished to hear them say, "It is well, it is well, it is well with my soul, God knows." From that experience, Mr. Spafford wrote the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul," to commemorate his children's tragic death. The hymn has been used to bring comfort to thousands of people, comfort that came from the Lord. "When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul." True comfort only comes from God. Do you have it? Do you have it? Romans 15:4, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." 2 Corinthians 1:3, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." Job 10:20, "Are not my days few? Cease then and let me alone, and I may take comfort a little. In the multitude of thy thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul." Psalm 119:50, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word has quickened me." Where do you get your comfort? Does your comfort come from God? God is the God of all comfort, and you will only have comfort by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. For he loved you enough to seek to bring comfort to your sinful soul. Thank you and praise you. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the comfort that you have given to us through the presence of your beloved Son, Lord, in our lives. We thank you for eternal life. Thank you, Lord, that when we get to feeling bad and when we get to feeling we're down, that you're there, the God of all comfort, comforting our soul and helping us to rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you again, we pray, in Jesus' name.